Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want to talk to us on that thought here tonight, the labor shortage of 2026. The labor shortage of 2026. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. There's a lot of work to be done. And there's a labor shortage. There's a labor shortage. It's not good to have a lot of people unemployed in a society. But it's also not good to have more work than there is workers. And what about the church? What about the church? Praise the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that you'd help me to preach, that your anointing would flow and minister in this house. Help us to be led of the Holy Ghost. We submit ourselves to you, Lord. We resist the devil and he will flee. I believe for victory. I believe for purpose, Lord. I believe for direction in this house. I pray that you would give us a word from the Lord tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. How many students do we have here tonight that are graduating in 2026? Can I see your hands? All right, raise them again one more time. Graduating. All right, we've got a couple back here, over here. All right. Congratulations. You are in the final home stretch. Amen. Amen. And just a few more weeks, parents. Can you believe that? Isn't that crazy? Let me encourage you to finish strong. Finish strong. You've worked hard. You've come a long ways, and make sure you finish well. We are going to celebrate with all of our graduates the first Sunday in May. That's May the 3rd, and we're going to be honoring them in that service, and so that's going to be a special service. And we're going to have some tables set up, and parents can decorate those tables with pictures and things like that of their graduate. And we're going to have cake and punch and stuff like that. And you can come by their table and visit with them, congratulate them. And we'll get you a list of all the graduates. And then you can, if you'd like, I think it'd be great to get them a card. You don't have to put $1,000 in each one of them. But if you want to get a card and just tell them how proud you are of them, I think that would be great. And so that's going to be Graduate Sunday on May the 3rd, May the 3rd. So remember that. Now, for those of us who have already graduated, whether from high school or from college, how many of you are thankful to be done with school? Is anybody thankful to be done with school? All right. How many of you you'd like to go back to school? Okay, I knew there'd be some. Yeah, yeah. Every once in a while, I guess I'll have they're nightmares maybe about school. there was this one particular in class in college that I struggled a little bit in, and I have nightmares about that one. And there were some things I enjoyed about school and other things I hated, but in this dream, it's never the good things. It's always showing up late. Unprepared, and you hadn't been to class a few times, and you show up and there's a test or there's a project due and it's not finished. And anyway, I can remember that's it's a nightmare is what it is. And I can tell you about another nightmare. When you come to class and you hear the teacher or the professor say, this is going to be a group project. A group project. I hated group projects because I know they said it was a group project, but what they meant, there's going to be one or two of you that do a lot of work and the rest of you aren't going to do anything. That's what they meant. And I know they're trying to prepare us for the real world, and it really kind of like it is that way in the real world, I guess. But it's funny how all of a sudden people get real busy when they're involved in a group project. They might have had a lot of ideas about all the things that we could do in this project, and then all of a sudden when it comes time to actually do them, they just disappear. They're in a group chat, but they don't respond. And it usually ends up with one person doing everything at 2 a.m. the night before. Now, maybe that's your thing, but Pastor was not a fan of group projects in school. And for those of you looking forward to getting out of school and not having group projects anymore, I've news for you. It continues in the real world. And I'm part of this one group right now that there were a lot of ideas presented about all the things that we should do, and then as soon as it's time to do them, all of those with the grand idea about all the stuff we should do, they're missing. And this is not something at our church. It's another group I'm a part of, but it was about 3 years ago, several people in that group, they went on and on about how we needed to do this certain project and we needed to focus on this. And it totally changed the whole purpose and focus of the group and where our energy goes. And, you know, the funny thing is, after that meeting for 3 years, those people have not come back one time. They had all these ideas about what we should do. And then when it came time to do the work, they hadn't been back. And so the rest of us have been doing the group project that they wanted us to do, but we need their help. It's a great idea, but we needed their help. The project doesn't struggle because there's not work to do. The project doesn't struggle because it's not a worthy project. There's plenty to accomplish. The project struggles because there's not enough people doing the work. And that can go with anything. Brother Armour's probably sitting here thinking, man, I need some help to finish this church project. And it could go on to, you know, think about church cleaning. And we could think about the outreach days. And, you know, all of these different things. It's not that it's not a great project. It's not that it's not a worthy thing to do. It's not that there's enough to accomplish. Oh, there is. It's just the problem is there's not enough people doing the work. And that's actually what Jesus was talking about in our text tonight. The problem he was addressing was not a problem with the harvest. It was a labor problem. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous. Now, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to have a big harvest. And he saw the need as an opportunity, a plentiful harvest. People were ready. They were searching. They were hurting. They were desperate. The harvest truly was great. And I think that that describes our situation today in Southwest Missouri. Don't you? You just drive down the streets of our city or of Nixa or Republic or Willard or whatever it might be, and don't you see the need? The need is there. There's people everywhere. Everyone is so busy, but people are not happy. They're depressed. They're hurting. They're bound by sin. And they might try to act like everything's just going great, but just look a little closer at them, and you can see the pain in their eyes. The need is everywhere. Young people, I want to talk to you a moment here today because you have a calling on your life right now to be a light to those who are around you. You have been called to be a light that shines in your school. Start paying attention to the other students around you. And the need is everywhere. You need to really start paying attention to people, because there's some who are obviously hurting. There's some who don't feel good about themselves. You can tell it. Their personal hygiene, the way that they dress, you can tell that they're hurting and all of that. But I also want you to pay attention to some who it seems like they've got it all together. The popular ones, maybe the great athletes, the cheerleaders, those acting confident, but they're struggling on the inside. Maybe they're posting on social media about all the highlights and the great things, but inside they are a wreck. They're laughing in public, but they're hurting in private. Ask God to show you those who are in need. Ask God to open your eyes so that you can look beyond just what's on the outside, that you can see the need in their soul. The need is everywhere. And all of us, we can get so busy that we go through our day totally focused on our own situations, our own needs, our own desires, and we totally miss those around us who are hurting. We're too busy with us that we don't see what's right in front of our eyes. Matthew 9:36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. If we will take time to see them, it will move us. Come on, if we will slow down just a little bit to see people around us who are hurting, it will move us. It will change us. And I think that's why many people don't want to take the time to see the needs around them, because they don't want to be moved. They don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't want to carry a burden. So just let somebody else do that. Let the pastor carry the burden. Let the outreach team win souls. Let the ministry leaders have compassion on people. That's why there's a labor problem. The problem is not with the harvest. The harvest is great. The problem is, come on, it's not that there's a lack of need. No, there's a great need. The problem is with the laborers. It's not the field. The field is ripe, all ready to harvest. The issue isn't the harvest, it's the workers. Jesus said the workers are few. That's the issue. That's why the harvest isn't being reached. That's the problem. The workers are few. It may be a great harvest. It may be a real bumper crop, but the good of a harvest will go to waste if there are not enough laborers to take advantage of it. Have you ever been to a restaurant without enough workers? There's no lacking for customers. They're waiting. They're hungry. They're ready to eat. But there's a lack of people to meet the need. Can remember several years ago now, my in-laws had several restaurants throughout the years, and then went together with some other partners and opened a new restaurant in the city. There was a lot more people in that area, and we helped them for a time. And I didn't know much about the restaurant business. My wife had been raised in the restaurant business, and so, you know, you get the building all ready to go, and you start training your cooks, and you train your wait staff, and, you know, all of this, and then you get ready, and then they had a soft opening. It was supposed to be a soft opening, and they started on Monday night, okay? I believe it was Monday night. You don't want to start opening a restaurant on a Friday night, you know, when everybody's going out to eat. Start on a Monday night. And so my wife had always had, she'd worked in restaurants, you know, a long time, but she'd always had this kind of reoccurring nightmare, so to speak, that she was trying to work in this restaurant. All these people were there, and they just weren't getting the food out, and, you know, kind of in her mind. That was her nightmare up to that point. Well, the restaurant opens, we're getting started, and she was on the way to start her shift, and she rounds the corner, and the nightmare came true. There was people everywhere. There were cars lined up, and everybody had been waiting for this restaurant to open up. And I don't know how long it went like that, but it was like my in-laws did not sleep for like 6 months or something like that until they just can finally get caught up and figure out, you know, get enough workers. And people get upset when there's not enough workers at a restaurant. You know, they're hungry. They're ready to be served, and but there's not a lack of customers. There's a lack of people to work. Just look around our city. Look around at this surrounding area. There's no lack of need. People are hungry. They're desperate. Jesus didn't say the harvest is the problem. He said the laborers are few. It's a labor issue. It's a labor issue. When we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, oh, I want to tell you, is anybody thankful? You've been called out of this world, that Jesus saved you, that Jesus reached for you, but we are also called to live as a worker in the harvest. More than just being called out of the world, now we are called to reach our world. It is a calling, it is a commandment. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth shall not shall be damned. That's what we're called to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We know what that name is. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In today's language, that says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Too many are churchgoers without being disciple makers. Think about that. There's a lot of churchgoers in the world today, but there's not that many disciple makers. We get short-sighted. We think because we're trying to live right and we're trying to make it to heaven, and that's all there is. But we are not fulfilling our calling and our purpose if we are not making disciples. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know how shy I am. It's just not my personality to witness to people. I'm just not made for that. That's why Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you struggle with shyness, if you struggle with talking with people, I want to challenge you to start praying, Lord, let me be full of the Holy Ghost. Let me be full of the Holy Ghost and the power that you promised me so that I can be a witness, so that there's something that comes over me and I can't help but tell them about Jesus. I can't help but tell them, you got to come to church with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What is it that holds us back? Why is it that more people don't step up when it comes to reaching the lost? I think fear is a big reason. What if I say the wrong thing? What if they laugh at me? What if they reject me? What if it's awkward? You know, there's a fear there. I want to tell you, sometimes it is awkward. What if they cuss me out? I've been cussed out before. That might happen. Especially if we're full of the Holy Ghost, because what's inside them might not like what's inside us. But there's still a soul there, and that soul's crying out. That soul's crying out. God, help us to push beyond our fear to reach a desperate soul that needs you, Lord. Apathy is another reason why people don't reach for the lost. I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. You know, and it's not really that big of a deal. What do you mean it's not a big deal? This is the most important thing there is. Surely somebody else will do it. The truth is, if everyone thinks someone else will, nobody will. The reality is, God has put us where we're at in life for a purpose. We are responsible for the lives that we touch and we mingle with every single day. Something has to stir our hearts. What about insecurity? Well, I'm not spiritual enough. I can't quote the Bible in reverse. You know, I don't have all the scriptures of the Bible memorized. I don't have what it takes, or maybe I've made too many mistakes to be a good witness, or, you know, I want to tell you, actually, people are not looking for a perfect story, because they know they could never be perfect, and so they don't want to hear from somebody who's never had any issues, who's never made any mistakes. They want somebody who's real, just like them. They want somebody to say, hey, I've been through some things like that, and there's hope for your situation. You can make it through this. God can deliver you. God can bring you out. Come on, God uses people who are not perfect, but they know they've got to rely on Him. Praise the Lord. Why don't more people step up when it comes to reaching the lost? Why is there such a labor shortage when it comes to the kingdom of God? Can I just be real here tonight? One of the biggest reasons is selfishness. Selfishness. It's not convenient. It might cost me something. I'll have to give up something. Oh, you mean give up an extra night of my week to teach a Bible study? It might make me uncomfortable. It's not really what my flesh wants to do. Hello. Thank God that somebody wasn't too selfish to tell us about the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God they weren't too caught up in their own world to notice those around them. God, I pray that you would let something happen within this church. I pray that something would happen where we stop looking just at ourselves and our own desires and our own will, and we say, God, help me to look outward, to see others, to see those who are hurting, to see those that, God, I have a word of encouragement for them, that they can be saved, that they can find truth, that they can find deliverance. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38 from our text again tonight, it says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Since the harvest belongs to the Lord of the harvest, we're to pray that he would compel workers to reap his harvest. I pray this almost every single day. If you want to be an answer to prayer, has anybody ever thought, I just want to be an answer to prayer? If you want to be an answer to prayer, step into the harvest. Step into the harvest. Be willing to talk to people about the Lord. Have church cards on you all the time, ready to go. Here's the thing. If you don't have them ready to go, you're going to be in a situation like, oh, I should have had one. Have them ready to go. Have them ready to go. Get you some on the way out tonight. Get you 5, 10, 15 of them. Be ready to go. Pass them out. Okay? When you feel that little nudge from the Holy Ghost, don't be like, oh, no, that's probably the enemy. That's not the, what? The enemy's not going to tell you to go invite somebody to church. Come on. Pass them out. You'll be an answer to this pastor's prayer, because I pray almost every single day, Lord, send laborers into the harvest. Notice Jesus didn't say, the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few, but pray God blesses the few and helps them accomplish as much as the many. That's not what he said. He said, no, pray that there's more laborers. We need more laborers. We're to pray that God would send them. In the Greek, if you study that out, that word that's used there for sending out laborers, it's a very forceful word. It's to push them forward, to thrust them out. It's actually the same word that's used for the expulsion of a demon out of somebody. That's how strong it is. It takes power to drive a devil out. And we need to pray for power from God that would compel people to go into the harvest. Praise the Lord. The temptation for the church today is to sit on our pews, to have great church services, to enjoy the music and the singing, and to enjoy all the programs and the events that we've got going on, and hear some good preaching and dress in our nice little suit, and then head home and don't do anything about the world. The temptation is to just say, hey, no, I'm saved and that's enough. I want to tell you, there needs to be something that drives us. There needs to be something that compels us. And I'm the first to say, we're too selfish. We're too selfish. We need something that says, Lord, I'm nothing, but I need you to help me because I want to do what you've called me to do. We are called to pray for God to send laborers. But God forbid we pray long and hard and never hear the call ourselves. We can't truly be praying for laborers and not feel the burden too. Come on, we're not really praying if it doesn't get a hold of us. It has to get a hold of us. It's got to drive us. If the harvest is ready and nobody shows up, that means people stay broken. That means people stay without hope. People stay lost. Thank God for first responders. Our police, our fire, EMS services. When the call comes in, when there's an emergency, they are compelled to go. It's their purpose. It's what they do. If a rescue team refuses to go out, it's not that, well, they're just being lazy or having an off day. No, it's a tragedy. It's misconduct. It's malfeasance. What if the church doesn't step up? We're not just talking about a physical life here. We're talking about someone's soul, an eternal soul. It's not just a neutral thing, oh, it'll just be all right. No, it's something that matters more than anything else. Eternity matters. Come on, if we hear the call and we don't show up, there's consequences. There's consequences. God, get a hold of us. God, get a hold of us. Let me tell you, the problem is not ability. It's availability. We live in a generation with more access to the Word of God than ever before. There are more tools to use than ever before. There's more Bible studies. There's more directions. There's more Bible apps, more podcasts, more worship music, more YouTube preaching than ever, ever before. And actually now with AI, there's exponentially more resources than ever before. And yet there are less people actually trying to step into the harvest. The issue is not that we can't, it's that we won't. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Send me. Isaiah said, I'm available. I'm available. I may not have all the ability. In fact, he just got done talking about how unworthy he was. Oh, God's not looking for those who have all the ability in the world, because many of those are not willing to go. But God is looking for those who are available. And when we make ourselves available, he will give us the ability that we need. What are some action steps? I already talked about one of them, church cards. Get you some church cards on the way out tonight. Put several in your wallet. Put several in your car, in your purse, whatever. Have them with you at all times and be ready. Be ready. God will start opening doors, okay? I've had a few people that kind of looked at me like I, you know, was crazy, but most of them are very kind. Most of them are very kind, okay? And sometimes they'll come. Sometimes they'll come. Outreach days. Brother Drew, when's our next outreach day? Uh-oh. Yeah, let's look on the calendar. We need to get make sure we've got that coming up. Amen. And we'll announce it. We'll give you a couple weeks to know about it. But amen. Amen. Putting them on the spot tonight. Amen. We need to have an outreach day every month, or maybe at least every other month. And you don't have to wait till an outreach day to do it. Get you some church guards and go walk around in your neighborhood. Pray for the neighborhood. When you see somebody say, hey, I've been praying for you. Here, I want to invite you to church. Bible studies. Bible studies. Oh, Pastor, I could never teach a Bible study. Stop lying. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can teach a Bible study. You can teach a Bible study. Oh, Pastor, I'm so shy. I don't know if I could ever do it. You can teach a Bible study. Get you a Bible study. Sit in front of a mirror and teach yourself if you have to. Start teaching a Bible study in your own home. Have a Bible study night. Amen. Family, we need to do that. We need to do that. We'll take turns teaching it. See y'all fist bumping. Okay, you're teaching. Next week, you're teaching lesson one. You're teaching lesson two. You're teaching lesson three. Then you're teaching lesson four. No, I'll teach two. But here's some action steps. What's another way? Anybody else? Any other ideas that are just kind of clicking, saying, here's how I can be involved in the harvest? Anybody? Sister Armor, just open your mouth and talk to people. Pray. Pray. Pray the Lord the harvest. Lord, help me. Send me. Amen. If you're praying and you're truly asking God, they'll be like, hey, maybe I need to go to the mall today, or maybe I need to, maybe I need to go to. But the Lord will lead us. The Lord will lead us, okay? Would you stand with me tonight? Thank you, Jesus. I feel that our church is standing. It's like we're standing and there's a door. I believe the door's open. But we have to be the ones to walk through it. And what is going to propel us past this place that we're at right now? We need a shot that's going to propel us forward. There needs to be something that's going to just move us into this next level, this next dimension. Prayer, yes, prayer. Fasting. Yes, preaching of the Word of God. But then I think there needs to be a mobilization of the workforce that God has given us to just simply tell people about Jesus. Tell people what God has done for you. Tell people what God has done for you. Well, let me tell you how God healed me. Well, let me tell you what God did for my family. Well, let me tell you how I used to be on drugs. Let me tell you how I used to be an alcoholic. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about how my family was broken and God put the pieces back together again. Get your testimony ready. Sometime back, a few years ago, I preached a sermon about what is worse than being lost. What's worse than being lost? If you've never been lost in the woods, I'm going to tell you, it's not a fun experience. Experienced hunters know that before you go into the woods, you need to tell somebody where you're going to be. If you have GPS coordinates, you can send them that, you know, all of that. So that if something happens, if there's a problem, you know somebody will come looking. Because there's something that's worse than being lost, and that's being lost with nobody searching for you. If you're lost, but you know, hey, somebody's going to come find me. Somebody's looking. Somebody's going to call my name. Somebody's going to get me some help that helps you just to hang on. But when you're lost and nobody knows where you are, and you know nobody's coming to look, in that sermon, I told about the South Carolina woman who was in the news, and she was found deceased inside a department store restroom. She had gone unnoticed for 4 days. Surveillance cameras show the woman entering the restroom 4 days prior to the discovery of her body, and she was never seen leaving. How does does that happen? How is that possible? There's only one possible reason. Nobody was looking for her. The only thing worse than being lost is being lost with no one searching for you. Many of the souls in Southwest Missouri do not have anyone searching for them. Can we just be real? Many of those who are lost in our area do not have anybody in pursuit of them. Even with all that we might be doing as a church to try to reach the lost, the vast majority in our cities in this area are in darkness, and they don't have anyone carrying the light of truth to them. If we're going to do the work that God has called us to do, we got to get busy. But there's no way we can do it all ourselves either. There's more work than there are laborers. Lord, send laborers. Send laborers for the harvest. I wonder if you would pray that prayer with me tonight, but also this next week. Lord, send laborers for the harvest. Send laborers for the harvest. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe this is key. I believe God's trying to take us somewhere. I believe that there's going to be more people receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized this year than we've ever seen it before. But we've got to get to work. Lord, send laborers for the harvest. Lord, I pray that you would lay a burden on people's heart. I pray that you would move us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us not to be selfish. God, help us not to be selfish. Help us to overcome insecurity. Help us, Lord, to overcome apathy. I pray that you'd help us to push beyond fear. I pray, Lord, that you would move upon us. Help us, Lord, to see beyond just the outside of people. But, Lord, help us to see what's on the inside, the hurting that's there, the need that's there, the pain that's in their eyes, Lord. Help us to hear the cry of their soul that says, would somebody search for me? Would somebody reach for me? Would somebody help me? Come on, there's got to be a drive that pushes us into the harvest. There's got to be a power that compels us to go, to reach our world, to make disciples. Come on, somebody, would you say, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me, God.